ordered the DVD. I tried to get it up for our Wednesday night service past, but it just wouldn't play. So if you'll come Wednesday the 29th, we'll play the whole history of Thanksgiving. And this is American history. This guy also does drive-through history for Bible lands and stories, and we've seen a few of those. But I like his presentation, and I'm hoping that this will bless you.
Were motivated to start something new, their determination stemming from their worldview and their belief in the role of the Christian on earth, and in particular the words of Jesus from what today is considered the most famous sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The Matthew 5:14 passage is crucial in helping us understand the motivations of these Mayflower pilgrims and others that followed. The very first settlers of Massachusetts and those who came after them really thought that they were fulfilling that ideal, and that the new colonies that they would establish in Virginia and Massachusetts and elsewhere in New England would serve as models for a more holy, more perfect civilization. They were not able to fully realize that in England, nor here in Leiden, Holland. Maybe they would in the New World. So, with a clear and undeniable call to America, two pilgrims were sent to England to solicit a land patent that would give them the legal right to create a settlement. With the patent secured in June of 1619, the pilgrims finally had the green light to go. The younger and stronger members, led by William Brewster, would make the initial voyage and establish the first settlement. All they needed now was a boat. The ship they obtained, along with a hired crew, was called the Speedwell, but a second, larger ship was also leased for transport and exploration services. This was the Mayflower. In July 1620, the Speedwell, filled with the Leiden colonists, departed from the nearby port of Delfshaven. The parting from the rest of the congregation was hopeful but heartrending. The Bradfords even made the agonizing decision to leave their own 3-year-old son, John, behind. William Bradford had grown up an orphan. His son would now have the same fate. Pastor Robinson fell to his knees on the deck of the Speedwell, as did the others. It was recorded that, with watery cheeks, commended them most fervent prayers to the Lord and his blessing. The scene was described as such love as indeed is seldom found on earth. The rising tide carried the ship out of port, and soon they met up with the Mayflower, along with some additional colonists who were not Christian separatists and were going to America primarily for financial opportunity. This caused grave concern among some of the separatists because they would be starting a new colony with people that didn't share their values. The challenges they would face, however, began long before they reached the New World. Soon after it departed, the Speedwell began taking on water, so both ships were diverted back to England. There, the Speedwell was inspected for leaks and sealed, but a second attempt to depart also failed, bringing them only as far as Plymouth, England. It was decided there that the Speedwell was unreliable and was promptly sold. It would later be learned that crew members had deliberately sabotaged the Speedwell, allowing them to abandon their year-long commitments and turn a quick profit by buying the ship at a discount and then repairing it. Some people would now have to be left behind. Of the 120 combined passengers, 102 were chosen to transfer over to the Mayflower for the transatlantic voyage that was, to say the least, eventful. Underway, they were met with strong winds and storms. One of these caused a main beam to crack, using a great iron screw, probably a piece of house construction equipment, they repaired the ship sufficiently to continue. Also along the way, a passenger named John Howland was washed overboard in a storm, but caught a rope and was miraculously rescued. Howland would go on to have 10 children. In fact, he's an ancestor of the George Bush family and First Lady Mrs. Theodore Roosevelt. Another crew member and one passenger died before they reached land, and a baby boy was born at sea. He was given the name Oceanus. Like so many pilgrim children, Oceanus Hopkins would have a short life. He died in America, a mere lad of 7.
We'll continue this on the 29th. But I thought it was interesting to see how the pilgrims, boy, they were up against it from the get-go. And when they got to America, they were shooting for Virginia and ended up in Massachusetts. And that's a different story. And it was a rough land with no hotels yet, nothing easy. And they worked hard to establish a new country where they could worship the Lord and praise Him the way they wanted to. Today, we end up receiving the benefit of belonging or being from this country to where we can praise God the way we want. And I want to, the title of the message this morning is, O Lord, I Thank You. We're going to read about the 10 lepers and how the lepers were cleansed and a little bit of the exchange with one of the gentlemen that was healed. If you look there at Luke 17, 11 through 19, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And when he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know, there's something about that name, as Sherry led us to sing this morning, and there was something about his name way back then as well. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. That means they were completely healed. Completely healed. Go show yourself to the priests. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, only one of them took this course of action. The rest of them saw that they were healed as well. One of them returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus, or at his feet. At Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, to the Samaritan, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Let's pray today. Lord, we ask blessing on your word. And Lord, that you will strengthen our lives. You see today what things we struggle with. You see our needs. You see our difficulties in life. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to every one of those situations. Today, Lord, we know you're the healer. We know that you're the deliverer. And we know, Lord, that you can bring blessing and strength and provision to each and every one of us. So today we honor your name, Jesus. And as we come before you for anointing for this word, we ask your blessing upon your people. And we want, Lord Jesus, to, I want you to see our hearts of thanksgiving so that we can open doors in our lives to be ministered to be strengthened and helped. And I pray in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. So this is a story about Jesus headed to Jerusalem. Why was he headed to Jerusalem? He had an appointment with a cross. This would be the last time that he would pass through this very familiar area to him until he was crucified and resurrected. And he would come back, if not here, near here, later to minister to his disciples. But he was making his farewell tour, more or less, through this area. And it doesn't say what city he went into, just a certain city. But he was on his way to Jerusalem. And as he entered into that village, there were 10 men that were lepers. Now, we know what leprosy is, right? We've seen the documentaries and we know the stories. It's a horrible disease of flesh rotting right off of human beings' bones, more or less. And it was such a disease then that they could not be within 100 feet of anybody. When you got this disease, you didn't go to the hospital. You went out of the camp. And you were always made to holler with a loud voice, unclean, unclean. I know we have challenges today, but this challenge is an amazing one, to where you can't even get a hug, where you can't even get anyone to really be compassionate toward you because you're so contagious they can't get near you. And so when these fellows heard that Jesus was there, they called out. And it reminds me, how many remember blind Bartimaeus? And he cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the people were saying, "Be quiet, settle down." And these guys were used to screaming. They were used to hollering out because they had to warn people that they were there. They had to warn people to stay away from them. And at this time, they used all the strength of their voice they can, and they called on the name of Jesus. They identified him as Master, and then they said, "Have mercy." I don't know altogether what they expected. They possibly had heard that Jesus had healed other people with leprosy, or that he had healed blind, and if you can heal a blind person, you can heal us too. But Jesus didn't make an elaborate thing of this. All he saw them. He recognized them. He didn't necessarily get beyond the 100 feet. He just said, "Go show yourself to the priest. Go and how many's read the book of Leviticus, chapter 13 and 14? And chapter 14 deals with what they go through when you go to the priest. The priest had the ability to look at someone and look at their skin and see if the sore was deeper than the skin level, then you're unclean. You need to go outside the village. And you can't come back until we pronounce you clean. And when they came back after they were healed, after the disease was possibly gone, and it didn't go away very often. This case is a miracle because they came in contact with Jesus Christ. And Jesus brought the reversal of all of the disease where they could go to the priest. If these lepers went to the priest without being healed, they'd just be kicked back out. Don't even get close to the city. You stay away because you're unclean. But Jesus had given these gentlemen a gift like they had never received before. A gift to where they could come back into society, they could work, they could be a part of a family, and they could really enjoy their lives. Otherwise, they're outside the city until they rot, until they die. So leprosy is an awful disease, and in the scriptural terms, it's often equated with sin. Equated, and when the lepers went before the priest, they had to offer a sin offering of a lamb, and then there were some other animal sacrifices, some birds, and oil, and an ephah of flour. And so they offered this all as a sacrifice, and then the priest would take the blood and sprinkle it before the Lord, and then he would take the blood and put it on the tip of their ear, the thumb on their right hand, and the big toe on their right foot. Now, that's a lot of going on. Then after that, they would take the oil, and they would do the same thing, sprinkle it before the Lord 7 times, and then they would put the oil on the tip of the ear. Now, I thought it would be this, but I don't know where they're going to put it exactly. I'm not going to worry about it because Jesus come along and got rid of that stuff. Don't have to do sacrifices. And then they put the oil on the right, the thumb of the right hand and the big toe. There was quite a process that had to be done. And then the priest would say, you're clean and you can come back in. So it was quite a process. One of the gentlemen that was healed decided, I can see the priest later, possibly. He was a Samaritan after all. But when he realized he was healed, he realized, I need to thank the Lord because my life has been so amazingly changed, and I've been delivered from that disease that was killing me slowly. And so he returned, and with the loud voice he was used to. Remember, when you see somebody 100 feet away, you have to say, ah, stay away, I'm unclean, you can't come close. And so he used that voice, and he glorified God. He glorified God. He fell down on his face before the feet of Jesus. And for the first time in a while, I don't know how long he had leprosy, but he was able to get close to another human being that didn't have leprosy. He was able to get close to Jesus, and he was able to pour out his heart of how much he appreciated the healing power of Jesus. So he fell down, he gave thanks, and the scripture says he was a Samaritan. You know, the Samaritans got in on some pretty good deals. Remember the lady at the well? She was a Samaritan. She said to Jesus, why are you even talking to me? We don't have any dealings with each other. Jesus ministered to her, and that's where he told that God is a spirit, and they that worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. What a wonderful scripture to come. But also this scripture is wonderful, where there were 10 people cleansed. And Jesus' question wasn't directed toward the Samaritan, but just toward the congregation. Weren't there 10 people that were healed? But where are the 9? You know what? That's what we do. We want to make sure that we're not one of the 9. We don't want to identify with those guys. The guys that they were healed and they went on to the priest, but they didn't come back to give thanksgiving as a Samaritan did. Where there are not 9 who were healed. And only one comes back, and he is a foreigner. He is one that's strange to our ways. But this one that came back, Jesus looked at him and said, get up and go your way because your faith has made you whole. None of the others got that blessing, that pronouncement. Today, we have our struggles. A lot of, look around at our church. We have an older group of people. Thank you for being here. Then we have a not quite but not young group of people. And thank you for being a part of our church. And then we basically have Donnie and Audrey. They're young. They're the young people. And then Claire and Evan, they're our children. And that's what we have right now. Now, we expect that there will be, hello, Claire and Evan in the back. We expect that there will be an increase and that God will add to the church such as should be saved. But each one of us has a level of struggle and difficulty. Thank the Lord we don't have leprosy to where we have to push people away all the time. No, don't get close to me. You can't. I've got disease. I'm awful. Don't come near. How does that make someone feel? But Jesus saw the need and brought the healing and the miracle. Our struggles are different, but they still are a need that we have in our life. But we serve a God. How many believes this? We serve Jesus, that there's something about his name. At the name of Jesus, Gloria Gaither would say, I've seen sin-hardened men saved and the fever of a child gone and the child healed. Because at the name of Jesus, you can say any name in the world you want to, but it's only the name of Jesus that can bring deliverance and bring an end to a struggle and bring an end to a problem. And oh, how wonderful that these lepers said, not only Jesus, but Master. You know, they could have gone on and said a lot of things about Jesus. They could have said he was the creator of all things. They could have said that he would be the sacrifice, the lamb that would be slain, and the lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, he's got a lot of names, but the name of Jesus brings mercy. How many wants justice? I like justice in an overall way, but when it comes to me, I want mercy. I want the mercy of God. Our sins cry out for justice, and Jesus brings mercy to our lives. And then, after we've received mercy, we need to follow it up with thanksgiving. Remember the people that were praising the Lord on his way into Jerusalem before he would be crucified, I think the week before? And they said, you need to settle these people down. They shouldn't be praising you like that. And Jesus said, if they hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. The rocks that were nearby were rocks of a boundary, celebrating a blessing, creating a memorial of what God had done for the people of Israel. So we need to enter into thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And that opens doors for us to have our struggles and our healings and all of the things that we need when we're thankful to the Lord. And I know there's a lot of people that want to make a big division between thanksgiving, praise, and worship. But I'll tell you what, just start thanking the Lord. And it won't be long before you'll be praising him. And yet you'll enter into a place of worship. And I don't think we need to get into such definition of terms that it bothers us. Just love Jesus. Amen. Just praise him. Just praise him. I thought about, how long would it take for each one of us just to be thankful to the Lord for all that he's done in our lives? How long do we spend giving him that thanksgiving? He's done so much for us and he's done so much for our families. I'm so thankful to God today because there are things. How many has needs in your family? You'd like to see the Lord really help certain parts of your family. We all have that. But we're thankful that we can call on him to intervene for our family. I don't know how long it would take, but I think we just need to sometimes settle down and give thanks. There's hundreds of songs that speak of thanksgiving to the Lord. One of them is, let's just praise the Lord. How many heard that? If you're a Gaither fan, you've heard this. I'll tell you what, YouTube is awesome on the old songs. I went to YouTube and heard this song with Bill and Gloria and Danny. And of course, Danny's passed on, but a number of years ago, But he had a great voice. He had one of the smoothest voices I've ever heard. And the song goes to verse 1, says, "Oh, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. We've all been in heavenly places and felt blessings from above. We've been sharing all the good things that the family can afford. Let's just turn our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord." And the chorus is, "Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord." You can hear it, can't you? Let's just praise the Lord. Isn't it awesome? And there's many, many other songs that have been written. Oh Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I will thank you all the days of my life. So thank God for those songs. One miracle that we can all rejoice in is the miracle of salvation. Can you imagine that you just come and you ask the Lord to forgive you your sins? And he does. He forgives us of our sins, and we just commit, "Lord, I believe in you. I believe in who you are. I believe your word. I believe in the virgin birth," right? "I believe in your sinless life. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you were resurrected 3 days later, and I believe that you're sitting in heaven making intercession for me. Thank you, Jesus." Isn't that amazing? And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can get a little excited when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, amen? Praise God for the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit and the comfort and the teaching and all that the Holy Spirit brings. The world blasphemes the Lord. The world doubts that he exists. They believe that Jesus was a liar, that he wasn't who he said he was. A lot of churches almost believe that way. That's awful. But we, the real church, we praise the Lord. We cover, and we give glory. You know what God created the human race for? To give him glory. And we do that. Thank God that we are a part of the good in this world that blesses the name of Jesus. If you want to turn to the book of Psalms, we'll read this 100th Psalm, a psalm of thanksgiving. And I hope that this year, that as we get ready to eat, that there'll be just a time of looking around. Bob Garner put a picture on Facebook the other day about a gathering in 2015. We had a lot of people at his house, a lot of people. And he promised the whole world on Facebook that he'll take another picture this year at his house of the family. And we're looking forward to seeing the comparison and who's there. And we'll be missing some, no doubt. But we want to take time to thank Jesus for his mercy and for what he's done in our families. And before we leave today, we're going to pray that God will strengthen families. Do you know that around holidays, families blow up sometimes and there's people hurt? That's awful. We're going to pray that God will protect every one of us. Amen. The scripture says in Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise." I'm reading it out of the New King James, and it says, "Make a joyful shout." I'm used to the old King James. It says, "Noise. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." Praise God, singing is important to us. "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." So when you come into the house of God, come with thanksgiving in your heart. "And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. So this is an invitation. I don't think so much that it is a command. How many like to be told what to do? I'm going to lay back on that. I'm not going to say you have to. You don't have to do anything. I understand human nature. Just as soon as someone looks at me and says, you have to do this, I get to think, well, maybe I won't do this. Maybe I'll just exercise my stubbornness. But let's just thank the Lord. It's our choice to make a joyful noise or shout to the Lord. It's our choice to be grateful for all that he's done in our lives. And look, I know if there's a particular need in your heart, you say, but wait a minute, I've got this. It's kind of darkness over me. I need that help. We're going to ask the Lord to help that for you today. And I believe with all of my heart, God's going to give us the miracles that we need. You often hear of a Christmas miracle. That we've been watching Hallmark for the last month about Christmas already. Thanksgiving's not here. It was before Halloween. They were already showing Christmas movies. And it's all good and it's all soft, you know, it's a very nice they don't really get in always to the exact message of Jesus Christ, but there's some allusion to it. But make a joyful noise, and let's look for a miracle for Thanksgiving, and then another miracle for Christmas, and then one for New Year's, President's Day, I don't know, Valentine's Day. Just every day you can expect God to do the impossible. You say, now, what do you mean by that? Well, look at it this way. Jesus saved you, and all you did was say, forgive me. That's a miracle. You didn't buy anything. You didn't learn anything. You didn't study the whole book of Jeremiah. All you did was say yes. And all that God does doesn't require us to do anything but believe him and believe that he can do it. And I believe that he can do it, don't you? Oh, we're a little church. But God can send someone here to minister to us because God has control of people. He has control of hearts, and he's directing someone probably as we speak today. But I want to pray for your families. I think that's an important thing. Debbie, would you come to the piano? And we're going to worship, and anybody else that wants to play, you're welcome to come. God bless you for... We appreciate our music, our orchestra. I know Jimmy Swigert lost his saxophone player. He moved to California, I think. But he's got another one, and he does pretty good, too. I saw a guy on Jimmy Swigert's show, one of the videos this morning, of them singing, and this guy had white shoes on and a red coat. And you know what he does? He dances all over the front of the church. Maybe we'll get someone that'll dance while we worship. And that would be interesting, I think. We're Pentecostal, but it's been maybe a long time since we've seen some of that. But if you would stand this morning, we're going to ask the Lord to bless your families. Precious Savior, we are so thankful for your people. And I pray, Lord, that you will minister to every family represented here today. And Lord, there are some of our families that their life is in a crisis. But I pray, Jesus, that you'll minister to those, our family members, that you'll help them. Lord, that you'll open a door for them that they can see your power and your mercy. I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen everyone. And Lord, if there's any in our families that are not born again, that you'll wrap them up in your love. Lord, let them know the security of being born again and having being blood washed from the sins and changed by your grace and your mercy. Bring healing, Lord, to those who are sick. Bring strength, Lord, to those who are weak. and bring provision to those who are in need. I pray for our church blessing and strength. And Lord, we don't want to forget to thank you for what you've done for our church and what you've done in our families. And by giving you thanks, we want to open a door for more of your mercy. Lord, that you'll just rain mercy down and that we'll have many miracles of mercy. Your strength and your power overshadowing our lives, Lord, in showing us your grace. We honor you today. Bring your strength to the hearts of your people. Bring your power, your reality. We want to live your reality and not the reality of the world. Not what the devil has imposed on America and upon our cities, our states. We want your reality. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Anyone here want prayer for any need? We, this church, Calvary Temple, will pray for you. If you have any need. Henry, you have a need? Henry's experienced the healing power of God, deliverance from cancer, and no doubt many other things. When you work, sometimes it hurts you. And Henry's worked a long time, and his back needs healing. Let's ask the Lord to touch him. Jesus, you spoke the word to the lepers. And you said, go show yourself to the priest. In other words, be clean. So we ask today, Lord, that you'll speak to Henry's back, be healed. And we speak that, Lord, in Jesus' name, in your name, Jesus. That wonderful name, give Henry relief from the pain and strength in his back. Lord, every time he stands up, let it be easier. Your mercy, Lord. Your mercy, Lord. Your mercy, Lord. Your mercy, Lord. Your mercy. Jesus, we give you praise. Amen. Anyone else that would like prayer for anything? Let's agree. Jesus, we pray that you'll touch Sister Melva, that you'll give her a deliverance from that bed. Lord, that you'll release her from the oppression that she feels that she can't get out. We pray for strength for her body and healing, Lord, for her body, for her mind. I pray, Lord, that you'll bring deliverance for her. And Dave, that you'll bring blessing in his life because you're God. Oh, Lord, speak that word to Sister Melva. So many times she's ministered to us and blessed us with poems and encouragement and how she's cared for your people and your church. And I pray now we care for her. Lord, your mercy, healing, all the obstacles down and gone. And let her see your deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Lord, touch Evan. He needs healing. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch his allergies, his sinuses, all, and give him strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone else? The Lord loves you today, and he'll do anything if we call on his name. Praise God. Well, we pray that the Lord will bless and strengthen everybody. You know what my desire is? To see Calvary Temple, the healing place that the Lord has spoken in at least my heart, and I'm sure some of yours, to where people just come and sit down and are healed. Why? Because it's Jesus that heals and not us. Not us. Not anybody, but Jesus. And to just know that the power of God works in this place. Amen. Sister Frieda, you have another? Let's pray for Sister Janet. Lord, we pray that you'll touch Sister Janet, that you'll minister to her today. Your Holy Spirit, your power, Lord, touching her heart and life. Lord God, your direction, your strength. Lord, your physical strength and power. We pray for mercy. Lord, mercy for comfort. And Lord Jesus, your light to give her guidance. You're merciful to us all. And we pray, Lord, that you'll touch each and every one of us. Give us strength and encouragement today, that as we leave, we serve a God that can do anything. We honor you. Bless everybody's Thanksgiving. We honor and give you glory. Amen. God bless you. Praise God.